Hello and welcome to the Home Uplink podcast. Today is August 18th.
Wednesday,
my dudes. It is a, a balmy, like 90 degrees outside.
It's a very humid today.
Yeah, it's a hot one. It's a hot one, but
yes.
As long as you don't have to, walk much, it's not too bad. But today, what we planned on talking about is, as times have been changing recently, as we've talked prior, we've actually gotten some questions out and about when I've been asked a few times here about how to go about and my opinion, which is what we're going to be giving here, our opinion on investing in real estate as a means of income making, producing, right? I was asked a couple days ago by someone, and I thought, you know what, this would be a good topic, right? And what they were asking was, they were saying, they do flipping of other things.
Yeah.
They buy cars for cheap and then fix them up and sell them. Same with boats and other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they're like, well, maybe I want to get into houses. And I was like, well, flipping houses is a different world because, fixing a car, you don't need a permit. You know what I mean? You don't have to go down to the state. You don't have to be like, hey, I got to, you don't have to be a general contractor to do anything to a vehicle or a boat. You know what I mean? So it's a lot stickier, right? So it's like, well, normally when you want to get into an investing in real estate, flipping is one thing, but really the middleman is where you get the money investing in flips, which is the wholesaler who goes out and finds deals. So basically they'll go to dilapidated properties and the wholesaler will go, hey, I want to buy this property for $120,000. The other properties in the neighborhood are selling for $250,000, $300,000, right?
Yeah.
They go, I want it for 120. And then they go, yeah, that's fine. I just want it off my plate, right? Whatever. Then the wholesaler goes to, whether it's a TV show or, a Facebook group, whatever it is, and says, hey, I have a contract to buy this property for $160,000. And then they go, oh, well, that's a steal. I could sell it for $300,000.
Yeah.
I put some elbow grease and stuff into it. I could sell for above that if I redo everything, right? So then they go in, put the offer in for 160. The wholesaler makes 40, right? The difference. Yeah. He's happy. But then the value comes in. They put, work into the property, blah, blah, blah. Now, whether there's value to be made in flipping, it depends on how long it takes. There's a bunch of different things that go into it. Now, I don't, like I said, this is an opinion piece here. Flipping is not what it seems. It's not as easy or glamorous, right?
It's not HGTV every single time.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that it was because, they go, oh, here's the HGTV version of flipping. And it's, they bought the house, they walk through it with a contractor, and then they, quick cut the first week of demoing the place. And then the next hard cut is like, in the bottom left, 4 months later, and then it's the property's like immaculate, right?
Correct.
They don't go through how you have to deal with all this stuff for 4 months. And,
oh, they, you know, they throw in a couple, hiccups. Oh, look at this.
Yeah, the pool pump broke.
And, oh my gosh, look at the attic. It's got a cracked beam, and we have to put a new beam in there. And it's like, that's just all for television.
Yeah, I mean, and so in reality, when you're doing it, it's a lot of work on your end. It's a lot of man hours you're paying for to do it, right? So flipping, it's an investment strategy. People do it all the time. If you're interested in it, I'm sure you can find plenty of resources online about it.
Correct.
But what, we're more inclined to speaking of is investment through, basically ownership and being a landlord and holding property, whether it's commercial or residential property, right? And what we were talking, or what I was talking about to him, was an investment strategy for real estate when it comes to producing monthly income for yourself that you don't, passively, right? Because that's what everybody wants. to make money and not have to do anything, right?
Yes, passive income is
king.
King.
Or queen, you know. But so what I was telling to him is, he was asking, I mean, I always get asked when I'm out and about if what my current take on the market is and blah, blah, blah. That's what, you know, when you work as a broker, real estate agent, you basically have signed on to be asked those questions every time you go out anywhere, which is like, hey, how's the market doing today? Hey, what do you think of this, that, and the other? But, you know, giving my two cents on the matter of fact is, when it comes to investing, especially if you're trying to invest for passive income or longevity or as an investment strategy in general, so that your money doesn't just sit in a bank, what I find personally is, I'm going to say personally a lot because I'm sure there's people out there who are like, no, that's not, you know, but
of course,
on our end, and especially in Vegas where we're from and moving here to Orlando, what I've found is that most of the time I find condos, apartments, and townhome-esque condo-type buildings to raise and fall price-wise the quickest. I found that single-family homes retain value longer, stronger, than a condo or apartment or something like that. They normally retain it for, they see less of a decrease for longer amounts of time, right? Whereas sometimes I'll see condos that one is listed for 220 and another is listed for 120, right? Yeah, and that's a big difference in the same community.
Yeah, you know, it really is.
$100,000 difference when it's a two bed, two bath. I mean, sure, you could say, oh, well, that one's well, you know, all done up and that one isn't. It's like, yeah, but you put 40K into the other one, not even. You put $30,000, you put new flooring and paint, you rent it out. And now
you rent
it out for $1,800. It's a two bed, two bath. You know what I mean?
That's the goal.
But basically, in this investment strategy, I'm just gonna glaze over it here real quick. And I'm sure somebody, if anybody has a question on it, or if we get an email, we can go more in depth on it. But so how this investment strategy goes, and what I was telling him is, you find an area you're interested in or that you know a lot about, right? Because you want to know the area you're going to be investing in because you want to make sure it's a smart investment, right? I'm not going to go buy property out of state I've never seen before, right? Or just seen on a website because that's not securing my finances.
No.
So I always say go out and find an area you're interested in, an area you know well or, you know, want to know well. Find places that you could see yourself. What I say is find a place that you could see yourself living, right? Because in my world, I would buy a place and then live there and then rent it and then, you know, move on up, right?
Yep. Moving on up.
But, you know, that's not everybody's forte. Sometimes they just want to find a deal, whatever it may be. But you go to an area, you find it, and you say, okay, I'm interested in this place. You go, all right, you know, this place is selling for $130,000. It's, you know, you could put a new carpet in and some paint in and you're in for $10,000-$15,000 after close, right? You put down 20%, get yourself a loan on it, and you say, okay, I'm going to put a little money down, make it nice,
yep.
And then you rent it off, right? You go to either you do it yourself or you find a property management company who does and finds you a tenant and then you lease it, right? Now you're making, you know, you're always going to want to be making at least a positive cash flow of some kind, right? I mean, sitting it even is okay for a little amount of time, but normally you want a little bit of positive cash flow coming from a property.
Correct.
Whether it's $10 or $100 or, you know, something, but you want something. You don't want to be cutting even every month, right? Because at the end of the day, you are paying the loan off as well as making some money, right? Because most of these places have an HOA or a condo fee or something like that that you're going to have to pay.
Correct.
You're paying homeowners insurance. You're probably paying renters insurance, that sort of thing. So you're going to have some costs that you're not going to recuperate, you know? probably $400 or $500 of costs that you aren't recuperating per month.
Correct.
Whereas the lease that they're paying for will also pay off the $600 or $700 you have per month of your mortgage. So that's a benefit to you, right? You have to look at it as every time you rent per month, you're making at least the cost of the mortgage back, which is, you know, $600, $700, right? That's basically going back into the bank or the equity bank, right? And then any positive cash flow above that, I mean, that's after you've taken your reserves out for repairs, stuff like that, that's yours, right?
Yep.
It's good old taxable income right there. But what I would say from that point is once you've done that and you have the, you know, I'm basically giving the quick done up 20 minutes or less pizza review on how to do this, but just to get it out there. After you've sat there and bought this property, you've gone through the steps of making it rentable, you've leased it, now you're showing a profit, right?
Yes.
Of an incremental amount, right? What you can do and the possibilities you have, right, are now, let's say you've rented this property out for 4 months. It took 2 months to get the property to a good point of time. Now you're in the property for 6 months, right? And you've got a tenant and everything's rocking and rolling. They're going to be there for a year.
Yep.
They're probably going to re-up, you know, whatever, right? What you can do is you can go to the bank and you can say, hey, this place is producing income. I have a loan on it, currently a conventional loan of $89,000, right? But it produces money because there's a tenant. What I would like to do is I would like to refinance the property, pull out the money that I used as a down payment, and I'd like that back.
Yes.
And then I'd like you to increase my mortgage from $89,000 to $120,000 or whatever, right? And then that incremental increase will go from the cash flow you were getting to now paying off the difference in your mortgage, right?
Yes.
And now from that standpoint, you know, maybe you're making less of a profit per month and it's going more towards your mortgage, but at the same time, you're not, every dollar spent paying your mortgage, you're not losing money, right? It's just going into your equity, right? So from that standpoint, yeah, it's not great because you're increasing your debt, basically, but you're getting all the money that you put in out, which allows you to go do it again.
Yes.
Since you've pulled out basically what was the down payment and the cost of doing it the first time out of the bank, you can go find another property in the same value range and do it over again.
Well, and yeah, and you have now proof that you have a sustainable income from the previous one.
Yeah, so you can sit there and so when you go to the next property and you say, hey, I'm going to put a 20% down. I want to get this at a rate of whatever, right? Whatever the rates of the time are running, 3%.
Uh-huh.
And then you go, yeah, here it is, blah, blah, blah. You know, you already have one in your portfolio. Then you go, okay, I'm going to do the same thing. New carpet, new paint, you know, use the same rental company or rent it out yourself, whatever it comes down to.
Uh-huh.
And then you go boom, bang, bop, bada bing, bang, boom. Now you have a new tenant in that building. They're paying, you know, well, the aforementioned costs of living there, right? As stated by the area and the place they're living, right?
Yep.
You know, if it's downtown Orlando in a high rise, it's different than living in, you know, Sanford, right?
Correct.
So you equate all these things. And in this situation, right, I mean, this is a very quick rundown of the buy, renovate, rent, and then refinance strategy that people talk about, the BRRRR method, right?
Yep.
That's the quick overview of it. And, you know, there's a lot of minute details that don't really get covered when it comes to investing like that, which is, you know, you have to cover yourself with insurance on each of your properties.
know. If you don't want to deal with your properties, you can obviously hire property management as well and have them maintain the properties for you. It's a little bit more expensive. You might be giving away some money, you know, anywhere between 8 to 10% per month. But, you know, it could be something to where you don't want the hassle of having to pick up the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning if there's an issue with the pipes. So, I mean, there's multiple different things that you could do for these investment properties that, you know, depending on how much of a workload you actually want.
Yeah.
It comes down to you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing about this is you can be as hands-on or hands-off as you want. Right. You can be, whether it's commercial or residential. I mean, commercial is a bit different, and we'll probably cover that in another podcast because it's pretty in depth. But
yeah, commercial is a little different.
With residential, property management and stuff like that. I mean, when you go and have the money to, do a 20% down, and you don't really necessarily have to prove you have, if you plan on making an investment property, it doesn't hold the same weight as if you're going to be living there when it comes to the lending strategy for a bank, right? Mm-hmm. So if you say, you know, if you're going in and saying, well, I'm putting 20% down and this is going to be an investment property, they're going to equate things differently than if you're going to be living there, right? So they're not going to take into account like, oh, how much do you make per month? How much you know? Because if you lose the property at the end of the day, you're losing 20% cash down and the property, right? So a bank doesn't have anything really to lose, because if the property produces income because you've renovated it and rented it out, they're just doing exactly what you're doing, you know? That's making a passive income. They don't really care,
yep.
Right? So to them, you're just, you know, if you're in not capable of, you know, keeping the property, then they don't really care. So it's a different lending strategy for them when it comes down to rent lending for investment properties. So there's a lot of things that come up with investment strategies in real estate, especially in that case. And a lot of people don't think they look at it the same way. Most of the times when I see people, they're like, oh, you know, I went out and I bought this, piece of land, and I put five houses or five townhomes on it,
yeah.
And it cost me $2 million, but I'm going to rent it for this. And it's like, I get it. And I've seen the videos and all this stuff, but I just, the logistical nightmare, of that
yeah.
is just out of this world, because you have to realize, you know, I'm all for the understanding of fantastical, levels of things. I like that. But yeah. at the end of the day, if you're going to tell me I can go get, four apartment buildings or an apartment building, right, of 100 units or 60 units or something, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's going to run me, you know, depending where, anywhere from $5 to $7 million, right? Which is, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's expensive. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this is like a small amount of money. That's a lot of money.
That is.
But what I'm trying to say is there's things that I'm seeing where people are like, oh, I bought this plot of land in California. And it's like, okay, that plot of land wasn't cheap. Land in California and that the place they're building is not cheap. So for them to build, you know, have enough land, because each lot has to be a specific size if you're going to put a certain amount of people there, right?
Yeah.
So to have five homes on that lot, it has to be sizable. It can't just be like, you know, them living on top of each other. It's all zoned specifically, right? So, you know, I'm speaking of this one thing I see in general is like they go out, they buy a piece of land, they go, hey, I want to be a landlord investor, and I'm going to go from nothing to something. They take the land, you know, they petition the county to mm-hmm. change the name of the road from like Stinky Point to like Pleasant Rock Street or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go, okay, now the value of the land is greater because it's gone from Stinky Point to Rocky Road.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they go, now I'm going to put five houses on it. The land cost me $1 million. Now I'm going to put five houses or five townhomes or whatever, or an apartment complex on there with eight units. And it's like, okay, well, Now you need a construction to permanent loan, and that's going to be probably $3 million to get you to that point to, you know, run pipes from, you know, to have sewer, to have power, to have all that stuff. It's going to cost you millions of dollars, right? And then you go, okay, great. So that's now 2 years down the line we're looking with $3 million tied up in assets. Is that a good use of my money? If I have $3 million to spend on an 8-unit apartment complex or a 20-unit apartment complex that I have to build, and I have all this money tied up in escrow, basically, and construction fees, and because you're not, at this point in time, you're basically getting a loan from a bank to pay for construction.
Yeah.
But your money's still tied up, right? So it's like, yeah, I mean, investment strategy-wise, would I rather say in that amount of time, you know, in 2 years of construction for these places, could I have just gone, you know, how many properties could I buy, renovate, and then redo this same strategy over again, right?
Yeah,
it's, you know, it's pretty much what I'm trying to get across in this video is just a quick rundown. There's tons of ways that you can invest in real estate, right? Absolutely. Just, I mean, there's even the strategies of getting a lease on a building or getting a lease on an apartment complex and then renting it out to VRBO or Airbnb, that whole strategy people talk about. There's
getting
tons.
Something near the ocean and making it some sort of like a condo hotel situation where 9 months out of the year, you're actually renting it out. It's like a hotel.
Yeah. There's just real estate is very pliable is what I like to call it. So you get a lot of options. And in doing so, there's a lot of strategies. So I'm just trying to cover the, you know, the biggest ones of like, you know, you're either going to be renovating it, you know, the Burr method, you're either going to be flipping it.
Yeah.
You're either doing construction and investing in the land and property. You're either going to be leasing it and then, you know, basically subleasing it to an outside company to rent it out. Yep. On a nightly basis. There's a lot of opportunities a person has when it comes to real estate investment. So it just kind of comes down to your comfort level. It comes down to your experience as well.
Yeah.
It comes down to your hands-on or hands-off, because obviously, you know, there's some that are as hands-off as possible, which is like leasing an apartment space out or a condo out and then re-subleasing it to an outside company. You don't have any money tied up.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lease that's getting paid by the per month or per night tenants that are coming in, basically. So you don't have anything tied up, as opposed to somebody who has a construction to perm loan after buying a piece of land and they got $4 million tied up, right?
True.
So it, you know, you can pretty much wherever you fit in, however much you have to invest in that sort of thing, you can find a strategy that works best for you. But it's really just about understanding every facet, because it's not also, you have to realize this is some people's jobs, not an investment strategy either. You know, just like how there's stock brokers and, you know, there's people who trade stocks on the side, there's day traders too. You know, it's like this is a perfectly great, investment strategy for people, and it's safe and it's tried and true. Right. But at the end of the day, you also have to realize that there's a lot that goes into it, and that to be completely, you know, transparent about it, there's a lot of things you can mess up, and, you know, nobody wants that. Nobody wants their investment strategy to blow up in their face.
No.
So it takes a lot of time, and, you know, you have to educate yourself on what's going to be your best and everything that you can do in order to further and use your money to the best of its ability, right?
I agree.
But I think that was the, you know, a 30 minutes or less, I guess, version of
a quick little synopsis of
investment strategies
and, you know, everything that you need to look out for potentially. I mean, there's so many things that could go right, and there's so many things that can go wrong in investments. So it's, don't beat yourself up if, you know, something out of your control happens, because it was going to happen to anybody who bought that property. It's some things are just out of your control. And then, you know, if you will land on a gem and you pull the trigger and you make everything happen, and it, you know, it, it turns out to be the best decision ever, then give yourself congratulations, because, you know, those are few and far between. So, you know, at that, you know, I want to thank Zach again, and thank you guys for coming by and, you know, spending a little bit of time with us on Wednesday. If you do have any questions, please send them to admin@homeuplink.com. Also, you can visit the site, homeuplink.com. The site is the easiest one-stop shop for all open houses in the Central Florida area. We have open houses daily, rotating on in the morning and off at night, and everything on the site is for that day only. So the content is here and now, with turn-by-turn directions and complete synopsis of the property with contacting agents. So please, you know, take your time, look it over, and then, yeah, again, I want to thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for coming by and listening yet again for another day. All right.
All right.